We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, your Miami Hurricanes football barbershop talk. It's your guys, man. We back. One more chance to be 1-0. It's that time. I told y'all beginning, right after Notre Dame, seeing the playoffs, that came to fruition. They shook me up. You know, I'll repent. They shook me up at one point. Dawson had me shook. Me and D-Rob now had got him a new job. I'll repent. I come to the altar. Ain't no problem. I tell you that because we done went a long way since the beginning of the season into where we at now. Anyways, we're going to get into it, man. We're going to talk a little bit portal additions, possible portal additions, and then we're going to get into this national championship game. Got the guys here with me as usual. I'm Larry, and of course, with me as always, or a lot of the times, not always, my baby man, Turnpike Measy.
Please say the Turnpike, man. Measy, what it do, man? Call me national championship Measy. Another chance to be 1-0, man. Whoa. Came a long way. Shit, Larry was talking about Dawson, man. We had an episode on I think it was like week 7. We had a offensive coordinator hot board discussion on it.
Yeah, yeah. It was after the SMU loss.
I think it was after the SMU loss. Yeah.
Yeah, it was time to go. Yeah. In our defense, how much did the offense change after that game?
A lot. Shout out to Dawson's wife too, man. Shout out Miss Dawson. You know what I'm saying? Getting in his ear, man. But yeah, man. Another episode, 26 degrees, man. We're gonna have some title talk. We got
Let's go.
Big dog, the real field general, X in the building. What to do? Please say the real field general.
Yo, yo, what's good? We back. One game left. Let's get 1-0 again. Man, this might be by far the worst fan base that we've ever encountered. because, you know, like even the trolling is bad. They can't do that. They don't know sports. They don't know sports at all. Like, they don't know football at all. This is bad. Like, it's really bad. I thought, you know, maybe they, you know, some of them would know something. But it's a lot of trash talking going on that they don't even comprehend themselves. Man, listen, it's, man, Miami right now, man, they so focused, man. Them kids is, they saying they don't care about nothing but bringing home 6. And that's what's going to happen, man. But, yeah, we hear another episode. Hopefully by the time y'all listen to this, man, we celebrating number 6.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to try our best to do a game recap. I don't know if we're able to do it because the excitement of what's going to go on from 6.
Like, yeah, you're going to be out. I'll probably be out.
Man, I'm in Miami, man. The city ain't finna sleep. We ain't sleeping for probably a couple months, man. This finna be ain't nothing like the hurricane. When the Hurricanes win the championship, it's the city is just live, man. So
I can't wait. We got
the homie Chef D Rob. Remember, y'all could book him. Y'all gotta pay the tab. It's not free. It's not, cause that's my home way. You gotta book, man. He'll come. Dust that thing up, man. What's up, D-Rob?
Man, what's happening? A for availability. January 32nd is my availability date. What's going on, man? You know, excited, man. Tomorrow, bro. I'm about to lay the jersey out. I'm about to lay the socks out. I got really about to lay out like the first day of school, man. Man, I can't wait. I cannot wait. I'm ready, man.
I laid my shit out this morning.
Then we got the number one producer. Daddy. I don't know if I should call him Chef.
That's crazy.
Doctor, like, what should we call him? Doctor? Like, yeah, we got to start calling him Dr. This
Dr. Man, Maul, like, bro. Dr. Yeah, Maul.
Dr. Maul. Dr. Maul in the building.
Yo, I accept that, man. Like, cause Rob them took the chef. So go ahead and do my next
prediction. Hey, unintentionally, my brother. Unintentionally. Oh, no. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Hey, when you made that pot roast, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna have to get it to him. But yeah, man, this feels like when one of your boys is getting married, you one of the groomsmen, and you just getting ready for the night. Like, that's how it feels like to me. Kind of like it's a little different, a grown version of the first day of school. It just feels like tomorrow is gonna be the day, all that. Part we just seen that dude go through all this with his old lady, but now they gonna tie the knot. That's what it feel like for me.
That's real.
It's really exciting because, man, it's crazy. I can say I lived through six. Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's been such a long time. Same for me. I'm 45 right now, but real quick before we get into it, you know, the portal talk's been crazy, right? I'm going to bury the lead just a tiny bit because kickers are people too. And, you know, we've been blessed in Miami to do pretty well in the kicking game. Over the last, you know, few seasons, we've had some real solid kickers that hold us down, some pretty automatic guys from, you know.
You don't care about the kickers until they lose your ass
the Borgalis brothers. Remember we had
Both of the Borgalis boys.
Then we got the brother who was automatic. Man, listen, we had 5 years of we knew we ain't had to worry about kickers. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you know, like I said, you take it for granted, and then you find out, like, teams, even really good teams like Alabama, have a kicker problem. You're like, oh, that's crazy. They have a kicker problem. It's like, damn, they ain't got a kicker.
We was old that from dealing with that one boy that 1 year, man.
Bubba Baxter, number one kick in the country.
Why would you bring his name up?
B. Baxter.
Fourth and five.
His baby girl back got blown. He was never the same.
Shout out Nicosia Perry. Right,
bro. It'll do it.
An opponent 28, man, go for it, bro. We ain't kicking.
Yeah. Yeah, remember we had that kicking duo, cuz we had him. And
Feagles.
Feagles.
Oh my god.
No kick. Never seen no shit like that in my life.
Listen. 20 he transferred and we ain't heard from him since. I don't know where he went. I don't know if he just gave up. We ain't heard from him since.
Bubba Baxter was like 4-12 in high school. And I was like, well, what the hell are we taking from?
And we signed
they were like, oh, yeah, he could kick a
60-yard. Yeah, some kicking camp.
Yard field goal. He can't make a 20-yard field goal. What is
it? It's easy when they don't matter, man. You know. But, so we was able to add two kickers. And everybody's like, why two? Because I was like, why two as well.
We took one as a specialist. He's a specialist of making field goals. And then we took the other one as a specialist of kicking long kickoffs. So I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And the other kid's still got 3 years of eligibility left.
Yeah.
So you got one kicker that's, you know, basically this is his last year. Wrapping up, coming home, finishing up. And then you got maybe the future, or at least somebody who could compete at the future. So you got Jake Weinberg from Florida State.
We took him from who?
Little Florida State, man.
Okay. We had to take that from them.
Yeah, little bro now. They're not going to do nothing with him. Like, so kid wanted better for his life. He played us. He saw, like, yeah, this shit here ain't gonna happen. They just gave all the little piece of money they did have to the Dazier twins. Like, they can win football games for them. First off, I would have only wanted one of the twins anyway, if I'm keeping it a bean. So that's another way. You ain't finna hold me hostage. Ain't no package deal, bitch. It's just not going down that way.
Yeah.
So, he wanted to chase the good life, man. He's tired of living like that. And then you got, that'll be your kickoff specialist guy, possible future kick. He had, his numbers was pretty good at Florida State last year, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to double check before I go to line. But if I'm not mistaken, he had pretty good numbers at Florida State as a field goal kicker. But
I think, like, I seen one stat that said he, out of all the kickoffs they had, he had a bunch of touchbacks.
Right, right.
Mostly all of them was touchbacks. So, I think, I mean, again, you know, it's just good that you got kickers who, first off, going to compete in camp when camp start. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you just say, okay, well, you brought in the kicker and he just got the job. So, they both will compete and you figure out, you know what I'm saying, which one is the better one for us to score touchdowns. But you know my theory, man. My theory is get the 6 points, man. Let the kicker kick the extra point. I don't care nothing about no
field. Yeah, so he's a red shirt sophomore. So he's got last year he was 63%, 12 for 19, 3 for 3, 20 to 29, 6 out of 8 from 30 to 39. 3 out of 6, 40 to 49, and 0 for 2 from 50. So, you know, he could maybe polish his game up, get a little bit stronger. He might turn into a kicker, but like I said, I know that they brought him in to be the kickoff specialist as of right now. And, you know, possibly compete down in the future for that other spot. And then the other guy is Jack Olson from Northwestern. He's from – where is he from? He's actually out from Illinois.
Northwestern.
Yeah, Northwestern. Yeah, he's actually from that area. The other kid is from down South Florida. I couldn't remember which one was which. Like I said, you know, kickers don't really matter until they fuck up. but we're going to give them their shine today, and hopefully we never have to talk about him in a negative light. But, yeah, he's – now he's your field goal specialist accuracy guy. You know, ranked a 3-star in the portal. For a kicker, not bad. Both of them, actually, I think, are ranked 3-star kickers. But, yeah, this Jack Olson kid is going to be more the kid that – or the player you're going to be looking for to, you know, be what we have right now in Carter and a pretty consistent kicker. I think, honestly, he's probably better than him at this same stage. You know, Carter had to adjust and get a new snap holder and yada, yada. But – I think you're dealing with a better brand there. So, yeah, they brought those two guys in, which, you know, like I say, you need them, and you don't hope to talk about them, but at some point you will.
And then the thing with that, Larrion, with the Olson kid, the good thing about it is he was kicking at Northwestern, and you know their stadium is like right off the lake, so it's constant right. Wind and all that, and he was right, 19 right. for 21. So, right. Actually, I think he's going to be – I think he's probably going to be decent. I like the taking the two kicker thing. Like, I have no problem with that. You know what I'm saying? But we definitely need to get somebody with more than 1 year of eligibility, though. Like, it's like kickers starting to be like quarterback.
The other kid got 3, so we'll see if he gets any better, and then they'll go find another kicker next year. So it'll be a kicker competition next year, and he may just stay just to be a kicker.
Plus, them scholarships don't even matter. Like, you know, you get a kicker the scholarship, they could be the over the 85 scholarship limit if you need it. So it ain't like, oh boy, yeah, you got to stay under 85 now. So
no doubt. All right, no kicker talk. So with that out of the way. No need to, you know, bury the lead. I've already buried the lead, excuse me, so let me unearth the lead. You know, I group chat then. I don't know, it's been pretty steady-handed, but, you know, we going like, oh, another one bites the dust. You know, Levitt, that situation didn't pan out. A lot of talk I heard was that was pretty much a done deal, and, you know, he basically lied and backdoored or whatever, and cool, whatever. I told y'all how I felt about him. Talent-wise, I liked him. Still was concerned about the character.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show.
Larrion, him and his mom was condo shopping in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, everything I understood, he gave a verbal. Like, that's why people thought that. Then, you know, the other one that we speculated on was Viola, who, you know, he just didn't hear anything about. So it was like, maybe that's a good, you know, good possibility. And he's another one that I was kind of like, I think there's some talent there, but I do worry a little bit about family being a little overbearing. He seemed to be a bit of a personality.
Especially with how much he was probably going to cost, too, man. Like, it didn't make sense.
My whole thing with both of those quarterbacks was the character issues within the locker room. You know what I'm saying? What Mario built, I don't want anybody to come in the locker room and destroy it. You know what I'm saying? Keep it going. And I definitely don't think either player would have fit in that locker room. Because for one, Levitt seems more self-reliant on him being the main factor, which is why him and Lane Kiffin is going to fit perfectly, because they're both about self.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You come to Miami, it ain't about self. Even though, you know, you look at the Cam Ward situation, Cam never made it about self. Cam was a team dude. You know what I'm saying? Same with Carson Beck. Team dudes. You know, they's like, man, it got to be about the team. You know, we can't do it without the team. You know what I'm saying? So I was cool with not getting either or, like I say, because like you care about character issues. Just don't want that in the locker room, Miff. You know, what Mario built is just, it just would have hurt. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know.
Possibility, at least. I think it could have been a hard fit. You know, maybe they would have to adjust. But I don't want nobody that's got to adjust. I want somebody that's kind of already on that build. Then the probably one of the last ones, which I think I threw in there first, was Husan Longstreet. You know, potential. Again, a guy who hadn't played a lot, but I was like, man, maybe we just have to bring in another young gun and let him compete it out. And he ends up committing to LSU, which, you know, I guess the plan would be probably Levitt, they think, at one and done, even though I think he got 2 years of eligibility left. I'm assuming the plan is for him to go there, ball out, and then go to the league. And then, yeah, he ended up going there too. So it was getting spooky, like. But I still I don't know who they're gonna get.
Well, you know, I was always like, okay, so here's the whole situation. You know, I had made a phone call. I don't know if I talked about this on the last show. I made a phone call to CJ Bailey Peoples. And when I got, you know, we had us a nice little talk, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, well, listen, is CJ currently signed to his new deal there? He was like, nah. I say, would he listen to something from Miami? He was like, yeah. He like, man, Miami just got to make the numbers right, because North Carolina State is going to make the numbers right. And I, hey, man, what y'all want to do with CJ Daniels? Oh, man, let's try to make it work. I'm like, hey, let's put this in play. So trying to get it put in play. And things was getting ready to pop off, you know. Then next, you know, I guess I don't know if who somebody must have, because I did a Caneville show, and somebody must have got hold to it. No, it wasn't a show; it was a Discord. And somebody must have told the other reporters, and then they started putting the news out like, "Hey, CJ Bailey didn't sign his contract yet. Miami is interested." And I was like, I was trying to do it not under the door, but like, okay, let's try to keep this
quiet
before the national media gets it. You know what I'm saying? Where it could look like, okay, yeah, Miami was doing some illegal stuff, but I was like, man, you know, like I know the family, so it would have been on me. Somebody just said, right. Hey, put that in them, but. Once it got to that, I was like, oh, man. Then, you know, I got a call. They were like, yeah, man, X. North Carolina State ain't finna let CJ go, man. Whatever y'all offer, they gonna offer. So I was like, I don't know how much Miami gonna offer. And boom, you know what I'm saying? Then the other news come out about the other quarterback. And I just like, well, shoot, I'm not even finna go back to that situation. Hey, that's how I got right there, man. That's, you know, Mensa, I wanted him last year. I was like, he could have been.
I wanted him out of the portal, but Duke snatched him up so fast.
Man, they
it was like 2 days.
It's no way they talk about tampering. Because
right, yeah.
It was done simple.
It was done too fast, bro.
He was already at Duke.
And for him, he was a hot name out of Tulane, right? Like, this was a name that was bubbling. That's how I wanted him, because I was like, and then I started seeing some stuff. I'm like, oh, no, I think little brother true, right? Cool. And Duke, of all schools, you a hot name, and you go to Duke, and something crazy here. Then you hear the number. Oh, okay, yeah, I mean, 4 mil. Yeah, that'll get it done, you know. But even then, they still were scared. That's why they got the deal done so quick, because he could have very well, we paid Carson back 4 mil. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they necessarily want to pay Minnesota $4 million, but the $4 million is out there for a quarterback to get, is what I'm getting at, right? So they made sure that shit happened fast, Jack, before anybody else could go around. So
because once he hit the portal, I was like the day after I was getting ready to make the phone call, and they were like, "Oh man, he committed to Duke." I was like, "No, he did commit no damn Duke." And then I looked online, I was like, "Oh damn, $4 million." Okay.
crazy. So, yeah, you know, that's all the fuss now, tampering, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I said it out there. I'm like, well, you got agents that's shopping you, you know, trying to get feelers out, see what team's interest is. And so if you got representation, how is this, you know, how are we coming up with the conclusions of quote unquote tampering? We went through this already with Xavier Lucas. Again, it's like, it's only because it's Miami that these stories become these stories. What about Brock Schott going to Indiana? He man. Going to Indiana and we can ready to play Indiana.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our locker room.
Yeah.
Don't nobody want to go to Indiana to just now. He was going to Notre Dame if it wasn't for us, right? But they hot, cool. I know they're spending some money. He probably got a little homesick, wanted to get back to the crib. Cool. No problem. They definitely tampered. What are we talking about? It had to be communications. And that's cool. I don't have no issue with this. They just want to make it something different when it's Miami.
And to me, it might have cut you off, but if the portal window's open, it shouldn't be tampering.
Right.
This is the window of time that players got the right to choose. So if Mensa says, all right, I'm going to come back, I don't care if he made a video. If the portal is still open, he's got the right to say, you know what, I changed my mind. Because it's not a bind. The contract doesn't mean I can't leave Duke. Now, Duke might need to get some compensation whatever, based on the terms of the contract. But guess what? That's within his prerogative to pay it back or Miami's prerogative if they want to pay it back. But this whole outrage, and I'm like, what do y'all think everybody in the country is doing? And like what X said, like, man, people hitting up Marty Brown right now. We in the playoffs and people our team.
Yep. Like you said, Texas A&M, they hitting up Jordan Lyle right now.
Bro, it's uproar because we getting elite shit. That's the thing. If it was regular Joe,
nobody
would say anything, bro. You're right, but that's nothing new. Because
they hate Miami. The thing is, when you hear analysts or people say, man, when college football is at its best, Miami is good. You know what I'm saying? They don't want that. They like, man, listen, we would rather sit through some boring, old-fashioned SEC being on top of the mountain than Miami. Because when Miami is good, everybody, all the players want to come to Miami. Everybody want to talk about Miami. Miami is a brand, you know, like if you've been watching – football or basketball back in the days, man. Once Michigan Fab Five came, guess what? Everybody won.
Right, it gets like hot.
Everybody hated it. They hated it because every inner city kid wanted to be like it. They had white little kids that wanted to be like it. When Miami was good, guess what? Oh, everybody wanted to wear the jackets and the gold chains and hang with the celebrities and rappers. And we was doing all that. So they like, man, we don't want that to be there. You know what I'm saying? We want old-fashioned regular football, which is why they hate the NIL now, because now they're saying, oh, y'all only getting players because Japan.
Well, just like everybody else.
I mean, everybody else.
Just like everybody else, brother. We ain't even at the top of the list. You could go check any ask AI, Google, ChatGPT, whatever one you want to ask. We on the top 10. We not number one, right? Most lists I see, we at like seven, eight-ish, right? So, yeah, we spending top 10. But we ain't the top dog. It do just boil down to Miami hate. Like, it's just, you know, we like the Yankees of college football. You love us or hate us. It's like not a lot of in between. Oh, you know, they cool. I ain't got no beef with Miami. Like, if you, that's why, you know, they put that map out, right? And who the U.S. was cheering for. And only Florida was cheering for Miami to win this. That's how
I don't even know if Florida chair. I think it's just like,
no. It was a little chunk of South Florida, Southeast Florida,
South Florida.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly, you're right. Like, so only South Florida won't, as a whole, want them to win. Right? That's Miami. That's
the somebody saying Purdue because they don't want Indiana to win, but that's it. Not in Indiana.
Yeah. So
they got a chart out there, right, of all of the schools joining Indiana. They say, yeah, all the schools going to give Indiana their power to beat Miami. And I looked at the schools. I was like, this is crazy. Like,
ain't no power.
what the hell? Like, y'all we should
be. They beast, right? Their beast is Ohio State, right, who has been collecting talent, I mean, for the last 20 years, right? And they got, you know, a couple of titles to show for it. Bravo. They came in the backyard, picked out the best player in the country. We got to deal with it, right? They still are viewed as somehow like this old-fashioned hail to the old guard of football. When they are no better than we are. Like, it's still about talent acquisition, and they have been able to do that through underhanded ways at a time, and then now you can do things up front. We just those guys, and a lot of it is blatant, you know, to be honest, it's just racism, right? Like, people just don't like Miami culture, right? Like, so gold teeth make these people uncomfortable. You might be like the nicest dude you ever met in your life, but it's just not of your culture. So, yeah, we're the anti-establishment. So that's exactly how it's supposed to be. So, yeah, the Mensa news is going to kick up that much more dust. But, yeah, I mean, everything we understand is basically we're just waiting on the ink to dry. I heard this is the only thing I had a little question about, and we'll talk about a couple other guys that are high potential guys, that his paperwork may not be turned in till Wednesday, and Wednesday is our first day of classes. Yeah, so I was like, well, can't he just come over and enroll? Didn't Xavier Lucas do that?
Yeah, yeah. What Xavier Lucas did was he unenrolled from Wisconsin and enrolled to Miami.
And enrolled in Miami, yeah.
Made it a lot easier for that process, which Mensa probably will do the same thing.
I'm sure about to say.
But Radakovich said that these guys have until, I think he extended it for these guys. Yeah, I guess that. Week. Yeah, for an extra week. So I think they have like until like the 24th, like to enroll. So, I mean, when you the AD and all them, man, you can do things like that. Hey, man, they playing. Hey, these people playing the champ. We doing this extended. So, they got the extension.
Shout out to the president.
Yeah, so AD, just waiting for that paperwork. Bro. And then, you know, we have two other high profile guys. One being Damian Wilson, high profile defensive end who we was after coming out of high school. Should have been a Hurricane then. Went to Missouri. No, he went to Georgia first, right?
Georgia. Yeah.
Went to Georgia first, transferred to Missouri. Had like 40-something tackles, 9 tackles for loss. Well, oh, I don't know. Yeah, 9 tackles for loss. I think 9 sacks or something like that this year.
9 sacks, yeah. Something in that neighborhood.
Very high profile, about what, 6'5", about 250-something. Could fit, definitely could fit. So he's on – word I got was he wasn't going to visit. He didn't come down. But eventually, he did get down, right? From my knowledge of it, I think, I don't even know how should I say this. If it's a money grab, I think him and the other guy we're going to talk about after him. You know, I think rightfully so, they looking for some money. You know what I'm saying? Rightfully so, because they both...
Which they going to get.
But they both was productive, very productive in college. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I'm not, declining the fact that they shouldn't get paid. But, you know, sometimes, man, I think a lot of these guys asking price, they start off asking prices isn't right. You know what I'm saying? So I think it should start being like, okay, let's negotiate till that price instead of just starting off with it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's how I would do business, where you can always negotiate and go up. Because if you start off at that high price, you're going to always go down. Because they're saying, well, listen, well, we ain't paying that.
That's so the strategy. This,
you know what I'm saying?
But I feel like people like him and C. And
so I don't know how you guys feel about Damian Wilson. You think? I mean, so for one, do you think he would fit the Heatherman scheme?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Easy?
Yeah, y'all hear me?
I hear you.
Hey, X,
can you hear me?
No, we can't hear me.
Yeah, I figured somebody could.
Well, I can't hear him.
Hold on, let me get out.
Yeah, my bad. Hold on. Technical difficulty. You get him off. You get him, D-Rock. All right, cool. What you were saying on music?
No, I was saying like somebody like Seton and Wilson, they could start off high because somebody gonna do it.
Yeah, and I mean that's just negotiating one on one for most people. I see what X saying because I agree with a lot of that too. I think because to me it's kind of silly to always be like, oh, let's start with this crazy number. Like, all right, bro, you're not getting the crazy number, so let's start at a number that we can really work around.
I get why they do it though. They start
that's just high. How they do it. Yeah,
just go a little lower, and then I'll meet you instead of starting off low, and then you know what I'm saying. They're almost like, let me see how much these schools is willing to really pay.
Right. What do you think about him? Like X was asking, scheme fit.
I mean, I think he'll fit. I don't see why he wouldn't fit. I wouldn't want like a Tyler Barron situation where, you know, if things get rough, then he starts like taking plays off and everything. But I mean, I feel like he would fit. I don't think he's like a run stopper because I know Mesidor and Bane can do that, and I know that's what we want in the edge. But I mean, I think a player on his caliber, like if you're willing to spend that money and you could do it, then just do it. Because I think too, I don't worry about the culture thing with him because I know he's jumped around with schools, but I think the culture is so set in the locker room that he wouldn't necessarily want to be an outcast. He would just fall in line. But I think he would fit.
Yeah, I mean, you look at like a guy like him and Hayden Lowe.
Right.
We might be, you know, might be in some serious business, man. Hayden Lowe, I don't know how he's doing. I hadn't heard nothing. But I'm sure he'll be ready for next year. Yeah, you bring in a veteran guy like that, and the number's going to be the number. I think part of the reason these people are looking at Miami now, too, is you're gonna get a number. You may not get exactly the highest number you could got because that, you know, there's been stories we've already told on here where Miami didn't pay as much as, let's say, A&M was offering the kid. So part of it is just wanting to be a part of something, you know, a winning culture, a winning team, and you win the national title game. So I think that molds a lot of that.
So Hall of Fame coaches.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's no longer the talk, right? Like, it's been the talk of the U back and the swagger, blah, 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 right? All of that. Now there's proof of concept. It's no longer just Mario talking. They can't keep leaning on these terrible narratives of him because he's doing it, right? Like, it's no longer just talk. It's proof of concept at this point. So, yeah, Damian Wilson, you know, a guy we went after. And I get why at the time, you know, Georgia was doing their thing. I think scheme fit for Georgia, he actually wasn't that great a fit. And that's one thing, like, a lot of people don't realize. It's like, you know, when they talk about some of these teams and you know, compare us to some of these teams, like, our pass rush is better than Georgia's. Oh, no. Yes, it's better. Like, yo, yeah,
they're like, they're like, it can't be.
Right, yeah, they just going by a brand name and don't and not even like their scheme doesn't even really predicate on a lot of pass rush like that, and hasn't for some time or whatever. But anyways, without going on a tangent on that, and I think that's part of the reason he went to Missouri, and did well there. He clearly looking for a payday again, but I think he's also looking for a winning situation. So we'll see how that all, you know, ends up working out ultimately. And then the last guy we're going to talk about, Jordan Seton. Salute the bro. He went to Colorado. You know, he really tried to go out there and help build something with Deion, but he was doing it by himself. Deion is not a great recruiter. I don't even know what Deion doing there no more, to be honest. Yeah,
he don't recruit.
I don't see the point of it.
No, he treated like NFL free agency, bro.
Like, now he don't got no players. So what you going to do now? You don't have your players anymore. And
I thought he was going to leave after this year, to be honest.
I don't think nobody wants to. Where he going to go?
I ain't see the point of him even coming back to coach again. Like, he already – I don't know.
He kind of completed the drill, ultimately. Yeah, because you know what I mean? He's clearly not putting in the work. Like, that's just the truth of it. He's not putting in the work to build Colorado to an actual program. He just brought his players over and saw what they could do and, you know, hope for the best. Anyway, so Seton went out there, and I think he actually bought in. You know, he was all on that if you a dog type energy, come out to Colorado, yada, yada. He gave it to him. He put the energy in. He put the work in. And, you know, he still played great football, but ultimately it wasn't enough. So now, yeah, he's chasing a bag, but you know, some of the talk is obviously Mirror Ball and Cristobal. And then he has a relationship with CeCe Malinois as well. So I don't know how y'all feeling on that.
I know he visiting what, LSU, and then
I think so, yeah.
He visiting LSU and then one more school. I'm forgetting the other school. Oregon, I think.
Oregon, he visiting Oregon tomorrow.
He's first round no matter where he go.
Yeah. So my thing is like if he left LSU and he didn't commit, we're gonna see. I think he weighing like the offers. But I think if he was smart, like I ain't being a homie, if he was smart, you would just come to Miami, man. Like you're gonna get the best development with the offensive line coach and the head coach. You're guaranteed you're gonna be a first round pick. Just look at who you following.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying? Said, like
he first round wherever he go though, so I don't think he's thinking about I would go to Miami and get developed.
But I think Wilson
doing the same thing. Who gonna give me the most money?
But Meezy, I think that being first round at Miami is totally different from being first round at Oregon, because I think it's more eyes on being and more eyes at Miami. Being we're kind of on the East Coast, we're probably gonna get more primetime games next year, so I think it's gonna be more eyes on him. He didn't get that many. Granted, we knew who he was at Colorado, but he didn't get that many eyes. Oregon, they play late. They play later at night. He's not going to get that many eyes. People are going to know who he is, but I think that being at Miami, you're probably going to be just like this year, prime time every week. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be something every week.
For either one of them. I don't think it's all about the money, because I think they both going to get paid. So I think they are looking for a winning culture and, like, a team that they can go all the way with. I would think that. I mean, I don't know them obviously to speak with them, but that's what my guess would be.
I mean, logic says that, but if it's a bit, I think like you're asking, if it's a business decision, both of them come to Miami because you're going to get the notoriety, but you're going to get coached up. Cause like you said, like y'all been saying, the proof is there. So if 500K matters more, if one school offers more, they choose that, then that's the decision they're going to make. But at this point now, there should be no reason why they don't come to Miami because it's all set for them. And
right,
because
like
you actually have the develop, you have the coaching. Like if you're like, hey, I got a year before I'm going to the league, I want to not only be a first round pick, but I want to be the best I can be, so I can be the best first round pick possible. That's millions of dollars. Right.
Seeing got to play two more years though, right?
He can play one more year because he's playing.
He played one. He could be one and done.
If I'm Daniel Wilson, I'm looking at Jason Taylor. Like I want to be coached by him. He about to send
right
two guys to the league first round. I want to be coached by that.
Right. So
these boys overthink it so much they don't even think about that. Though I feel
it depends. I think you know these are older guys too. These aren't like freshmen. So these guys have been around a little bit. I don't think it's just Miami for the money, because again, we're not the top spender. If you just go out trying to get a bag, you go to Texas Tech. You just gonna run out of Texas Tech. You're gonna get the most money. That's just what they're doing right now. So I think it's my guess is that they're looking for the total package of winning and some money. So put it this way, if like I heard, I think seat and starting price was something like
3.4 million.
You heard three. Okay. Let's say three. So three is your number. Miami, like, well, we can't do three. We can do 2.6. All right. But LSU can give you the three. Now it's a decision. Where do you think your best development, where it's going to really kick your game up to the next level, is it worth the $400,000 that you're going to leave on the table? I think that's where they're at with it. Like, am I taking that money and going on? Because I think Miami could probably, you know, working with, like, let's say I'm working with Taylor, I'm working with Mirabal, I probably can go from that 27th pick to that 12th pick. That's a lot more money on the back end. So you take a little short this time to move up a few picks, you know, a dozen picks in the draft, if you think they could do that for you. So I think that's part of the process. Same thing for Minnesota, right? Same thing. Like we already seen, we could take a guy from the third round to the number one pick.
I think a lot of it got to do with Because you know what? What again? I don't. It's not me being biased. I don't think Miami. I do think Miami has a better situation for its players when it comes to signing deals. Because you look at the NIL situation, Miami is going to get you an NIL situation. So like you said, Larry Ryan, if it might not be $3 million, it might go down to 2.6, but we will counter that with getting you an NIL deal where the extra $400,000, you get that from them.
Yeah, like they're talking about Memphis and Adidas.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure that will be they will be part of orchestrating that.
Yeah.
So going to there's other monies to be had, too.
Yeah, going to them other schools, you just getting the money. You know what I'm saying? They ain't saying, oh, well, we finna go find you some NIL deals and other stuff to make your money go up. You know, like, and that's the crazy part, because when they kept saying Carson Beck was paid this and this and that, it wasn't even that money. He got paid a certain amount, and they gave him all type of NIL deals. The same with Cam Ward, the same with Derrick Key. They just got a bunch of NIL deals that added up to what everybody's saying with the numbers. So it's like, again, you're going to get paid, but why not get paid and be coached by the guy who's sending guys to the NFL first round? Like, I would rather be coached by him knowing that he's going to get me to this league. You know, so, again, like I say, I've been in contract situations where I know me personally, I wouldn't start at that high number. I would negotiate, you know what I'm saying? Because who's to say they won't give you more than what you started at, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, let me start at like 2. And they jump on it that fast. Oh, man, listen, let's raise that number. They jump on it that fast. Oh, let's raise that number. Not, let me start at 3. Oh, young fella. Yeah.
Hey, well, because you also have the bargaining chip of other schools. So you could be like, well, such and such offered me, yada, yada. But anyways, yeah, we'll see those situations play out in the next few days, obviously. So on to the main course. You know, obviously, what a season. No matter what happens tomorrow, amazing season, amazing turnaround for this team. But tomorrow we get to bring home ring number 6. And I can't tell you when we started this season, even when we started this podcast – few years back, that I thought we would be having a national title game discussion like that.
Number what are we one on year 3 right now doing this?
Yeah, this is the third season. Yep, I'd be lying if I told you that. I thought playoff spot was where I was at this year. I thought playoff spot, maybe a playoff win, is where I kind of thought I saw this team this year.
Man, listen, from last year, I just knew Miami's a playoff team. We got talent. We got the talent, man. We're a playoff team. Like, the defense just ain't, you know, secure the spot for us. Once we came into this season, man, watching fall practice, I was like, man, this team is good. But it's something that was missing. I was like, I needed, because, you know, you have an offense like Cam Ward last year. You kind of expected, like, dang, boy, I need this offense to be flying up and down the field. And then I wasn't paying attention to, damn, the defense is really good. You know what I'm saying? So that caught me off guard, because I was like, I need to see Heatherman in a game situation before I say, oh, yeah, he's that dude on defense. And then once we played Notre Dame, I was like, oh, ain't nobody beating us, man. We going straight to the
– Yeah, you know? The Notre Dame game gave me a lot of confidence going into the season. I
ain't think we was going to lose a game after that.
Me either. Me either. There's no way somebody's finna beat us the way we just beat up on this team. I'm like, no way.
Right.
And
we shouldn't have. If we play our best ball all season, we shouldn't have lost the game.
Yeah,
that's just the bottom line. SMU ref would be down. We still didn't play our best game.
We played 80% against Ole Miss and won.
Right. Yeah, we've seen that this team can win when we're not at our tip-top best. Even against good competition, like you said, Ole Miss, where, you know, we dropped the ball when we played absolutely awful against Louisville, right? And still was in that game. So my confidence was up in the ability of the team. But I think, you know, we got the same PTSD, right? Here come November, right? So this is where we're supposed to fall off. But Mario rallied the troops.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson heard me and D-Rob hot list to get rid of him. he went and talked to Coach. Said, Coach, man, 26, them boys over there talking crazy, bro.
Yes, sir.
You gotta take the reins off a little bit, man. Let me do a few things out there. Next thing you know, Malachi Toney doing, you know, he doing halfback passes. You know, he throwing Carson Beck touchdowns, this, that, and other. All of a sudden, this was a funner,
Maui Goa caught a touchdown. Hey,
so can I tell you about why all that, why the offense took place to where it looks now? Can I give y'all the whole story?
Yeah,
so, go. Here we go. Everybody was thinking, okay, yeah, it's between Dawson and Mario. So Mario had an exclusive conversation with the GOAT. And I ain't talking about Nick Saban. I'm talking about Jimmy Johnson.
I knew you were saying Jimmy Johnson.
And I can imagine the conversation was, Mario, let those players go out there and have fun and play football. You worry about everything else, the off-field, keeping the team focused, your coaches. You worry about all that stuff. Let those players go out there and have fun. That's the only way it's going to work. And Mario loosened up. He went and told Dawson, hey, I just fired my buddy last year on defense. Don't let this be a repeat season. You know what I'm saying? And Dawson loosened up, and you see he doing all this with the offense. So sometimes it takes that. You know what I'm saying? Because, Mario, you playing for Jimmy. You know how Jimmy coached. That's how Jimmy coached. Jimmy was like, man, listen, y'all go out there and just beat the hell out of him. I'm going to take care of everything else. And guess what? You had a winning culture. So I think that's what Mario is allowing now. Now it's a winning. It looks like a winning culture. You know, so.
Yeah, it was a flip. A switch was flipped, man.
You can tell Beck so, got yeah, a lot more comfortable, too.
You're right. Everything just shifted to, you know, a brand of football that we just felt like, all right, now I can scrap my list, right? My list was serious at the time. Dead. I wasn't joking. I was about to email Etchie Averia, whatever, however you say his name. I would have had hell trying to Google it, but I would have figured it out. I was about to email Radakovich. Yeah, I was going to talk to somebody and say, this shit here got to go, bro. This shit ain't it, man. I'm tired of the same play. And everything switched around. The mentality switched around. These guys locked in and putting themselves in a position to go on a run for the national title. The hardest run, I would think, to date, when you think about ever. What they had to do to get here. Yeah, I just don't think there's a – team that could proclaim they had to go to this. I mean, and Ohio State had, you know, their journey last year, but I still wouldn't rank it harder than this. And so, you know, we going against Indiana, and, you know, they got the Cinderella bullshit narrative going around. Like, there's not a team that's been, you know, paid for just like ours. They got a older team, you know, that's been a big narrative with
average them. Age is 24 years old. That's grown men. Y'all got a bunch of grown niggas out there talking about.
Yeah, they won't bring up Keontae Scott. They CJ Daniels. I'm like,
y'all not no young nigga. Y'all, how can y'all be Cinderella when everybody 24 years old? That ain't exactly. Cinderella, nigga, that's grown men.
Yeah. Like, they got to stop that shit. But
they got the one dude. He been there since when Trevor Lawrence was at Clemson.
No, that's exactly. Crazy.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, and we got hey, look, oh, Keontae Scott, older dude, that cool. CJ Daniels, older. Every team got some. They just have a plethora of them, you know. And so yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of that team's built on, right? Obviously, you got Kurt Cignetti. Probably, you know, the latest, hottest. Yeah, like, he kind of reminded me of Chip Kelly. When Chip Kelly was kind of doing this thing out in Oregon, like, and he was burning bright. And it burned for a little while, and then things just didn't. They kind of fell apart after a certain point. That's who Cignetti reminds me of. It's funny, too, because people forget Kelly got an arrogance to him, too. You know, Kelly think he the shit, too, and he would say all of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's put together a program, man. They done some things. Got Mendoza, you know. That's the other story they're running with. Oh, you know, nobody recruited. Well, we didn't recruit him. They ain't saying nobody. They keep talking about how Miami ain't recruiting him. I'm like, yeah, neither did the rest of the nation. So, it, whoops. And we did try to grab him out the portal. You know, say we made a little late run, and you know, he decided to stick with what he was doing. Cool. Everything worked out good for the kid. He won a Heisman, everything, man. What, I don't know how you a Cinderella with a Heisman winner either. That's kind of tough.
Yeah.
How you Cinderella? You 8 point, you 8.5 point favorite over
exactly
that you play in Miami. Like that's
right. Well, anyway, they went to the playoffs last year, so how you a Cinderella?
Right.
Nah. What I was about to say, man, Mendoza make it hard for you to hate him, dog, because somebody asked him a question about, you know, about throwing down the U and all that. He was like, nah, I'll never do that. I got too much respect. I grew up with wearing the orange and green. I was like,
he's a real Miami fan. And listen, you could only like it, love it, because he's really a Miami fan. But he took what Manny Diaz and them did to him. He took that to heart. I ain't gonna lie, I would have took that to heart too. Because basically, Manny Diaz and them told him, we'll take you, but we're going to take you as a walk-on. I mean, nigga, this is my dream school. And you say you finna do what?
Right. Like our quarterback situation was that great.
I was just about to say that crazy. Shit, bro. I was just about to say that.
I guess he forgot he took Tate Martell.
Hey, man, like, I want this to be the last time we talk about Tate Martell, even though it's funny to invoke the name. Wow, man, Tate Martell got.
Yeah, we gave him back to Ohio State after we beat Ohio State, so he belongs.
I saw that somebody tweeted that shit. I think I retweeted. They said the loser got to take him back. So yeah,
he belonged to them, man.
He back to Ohio State. He's up out of here. Oh,
this Indiana team, man. Like I say, this is one of the most disciplined teams I've ever seen. But the thing that they do does it. Scared me a lot, you know what I'm saying? Offensively, I don't see anything that's potent. They catch a lot of teams off guard with back shoulder passes. They do a good job running the ball. But if you take Mendoza's first read away, you basically in his head. When they're on defense, they do a lot of things to confuse the offensive line. I just don't see it. I just think, you know, and again, like I made a comment about that defensive line is too small. And they say, well, Oregon said that. Alabama said that. Ohio State said that. I say, okay, well, guess what? No, none of them teams play like Miami.
Oh, yeah, dude. I don't think any of their offensive players are on our same level.
It's not even about them being on our level. I think it's just the scheme. Because we don't run the scheme that those teams run. Our scheme is, once we see a demand and that we can run the ball, we lean on that. Other teams, they try to finesse the run by, you know, their pass, and then they try to finesse it. We tend to say, hey, boy, our guys are big, and we just going to go ahead and run behind them. You know what I'm saying? And then they already only got 14 rotational defensive guys. There's no way you think you finna just have 14 guys for four quarters to stop Miami. Like, third, fourth quarter, man, your arms are not going to want to reach out to tackle Mark Fletcher or Marty Brown. You know what I'm saying? That's just what I'm seeing from this. And it's like, I don't know, man. I thought at first, man, once the game was announced, I was like, okay, boy, this game going to be real good game, interesting. But then as the days get closer, man, I'm just thinking Miami just trying to beat the hell out of these guys, man. And
well,
I know my prediction was 31-17, man, but if we do another prediction tonight, I might have to change that score.
That's a hell of a beating, 31-17, but we'll see what you come up ultimately. What you was about to say about Mendoza, Maul, I was going to look at the offensive defense.
Oh, just two quick things. One, it was funny, he was talking about being a Canes fan, how much he loved Kaya and Rozier's. I'm like, damn, man, you let that guy leave locally, like he was like, those are his favorite Kane teams growing up. So here.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. So he tried to model his game after. Yeah, yeah, that was funny. But, I mean, again, you know, I spoke on Cignetti. I think he's, you know, for an older guy, especially, like I say, he's a hot commodity. Good coach. That's a well-disciplined team, like X said. Offensively, you know, you look at Mendoza and what he does. A lot of it is just playing a lot of mistake-free football. That's what has been their bread and butter, in my opinion. They, I don't think they like specifically. They're not like really tricky. They run a lot of RPO stuff, right?
Yeah, and I think what's going to help us a lot too is Heatherman's been on has worked with Cignetti, and him and Indiana DC are best friends. They was each other's wedding. So I think having that's going to help us a lot too.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because Shanahan was on my list. Remember that D-Rob? I had Mike Shanahan on the list.
Yeah.
He is the OC, but and he's the wide receivers coach for him as well. You know, these guys got these bigger, older wide receivers. They rely on the back shoulder fade a lot. The RPO game, and try to, they, I mean, they just try to be balanced. I think their key thing is like they're just efficient. So I don't think the advantage I think we'll have on playing this offense is they ain't going to try to get too fancy. Perfect. Perfect. If you just want to line it up and just see who's who. I mean, I don't know about, I mean, you tell me, D-Rod, how you feel if it's just a, if we just lining it up, I mean, no tricks. And I know you running off tackle. I mean, who you like in that matchup?
Oh, I like us. I like us all day in that matchup. Their D line is small. Like you, like the biggest guy they got is like 6'3", even. Everybody else is like,
got like 6'2". He like 2.
But they like two. Yeah, they light, they real light, man. Like I'm not too concerned, man. You know what I'm saying? And I guess people are saying that they're gonna try to attack Brockemeyer because they think that he's the weak link on the offensive line. But like you might not want to do. Well, matter of fact, yeah, you go ahead and you try to do that. But then, like you said, like off tackle going through them, it's wide open. You know what I'm saying? If you try to double down or however they want to do
but
it.
How they, so, how they do what they do good too a lot, D-Rob, is So they will line up their D-line and then they'll walk down some linebackers, DBs and stuff like that. And what they do is a lot of is misdirection where the D-lineman and the linebacker look like they coming. They won't come. They'll jump into passing lanes and then they'll send like 3 D-linemen to the right and then 1 blitzer to the left. Now that you know they try to confuse the old line, and I'm like, well, if you think you're gonna do that against a team that's just gonna run straight up the middle on you, it ain't gonna work. Like, nigga, Flex is gonna be 6 yards down the field before you touch him, you know what I'm saying? And that's a disaster in itself, like, but that's just how they scheme work, you know what I'm saying? They try to confuse the old line. Which and it worked for, like I said, it worked for those teams that they played. I just don't think it's going to work for us. You know what I'm saying? Because we ain't finna try to do all that crazy pulling. And listen, Cooper going to block you. Francis going to block his hand. You know, everybody else going to block. Like, it's, and that's just how it's going to work, man. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm talking. I'm every time I'm talking, I'm dragging my score up, like 31 points.
Getting more and more hype.
Listen, now hold on, wait. Now check this out, right? Let me break it down for you. They talking about, oh, we got to worry about this Tyreek Tucker guy. He's 6 feet, 298, play D tackle. Ain't worried about it. Oh, we got to worry about this Stephen Daly guy, 6'1", 260, play DN. Like, bro, you are not going to think you just going to bully Cooper, Francis, like even Okunlola, like he came on strong. Like, I'm so happy and so impressed with him. It's impossible, man. Like, these 6'1", 265, like come on, man. Like, the thing is, I will say this, their linebackers are okay, but even with the linebackers, your linebacker is 5'11", 225. Right. Tackling who? Mark Fletcher? Come on, man. We're not finna do that. Like, you got a small team, 6'1", 220. Like, I'm going to tell you, man. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And then, like we said, they don't. Yeah. Your best DB is 5'9", 180. He a dog, but come on, man. You got to pick your poison. Either because Malachi going to destroy whoever in that slot, or if you play zone coverage, he going to find the soft spot. Like, who's going to be one-on-one out there on that edge with Marion or what? Like, come on, man. Like, my only concern, and it's not even really a concern, but I'm like, is because Lofton is out. Like, somebody's going to have to step up and take, like, Bowman will have to step up big time. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. I know the scheme is probably going to change some because Lofton is out, but somebody will have to step up. But I'm not concerned, bro. I'm not concerned. I'm going to tell you, I think the jitters is going to be there at first because, you know, obviously, because it's a championship game, the jitters is going to be there. But after that, I think we're going to run down, bro.
I'm more concerned about the coaches' jitters than the players. I think the players are like, they ready.
Not our coaches. You think our coaches?
I'll say I would be more concerned about the jitters from coaches than the players. I think the coach is ready. You know what I'm saying?
But you think the players just that locked in?
Yeah, I think the players locked. They too locked in. Listen, man, we got some mad men on that team, man. Especially on that team. That number eight and that number zero. Those guys, man, they some mad men. And I tweeted today. I say, man, Torrey, this is last game, man. He might go out there and kill somebody. we've seen him give his body up. You know what I'm saying? So he might go out there and hurt somebody. And then they not publicly saying it like, oh, they disrespected Bane and Mesidor, but they really saying, hey, we got an O-line that's good. Y'all ain't played the O-line like this. And I think
we paid better O-lines.
I think Bane and Mesidor is good. They looking at that saying, okay, man, listen, we coming. Then they disrespecting Moten. They ain't giving Moten no chance. They like, man, y'all ain't got no interior D-line to stop our run. And
then you got to think about it, right? And then, like, they don't rotate a lot of players. Like, they play five. They only play five DBs all game. They only play those five DBs. They play their two linebackers, right? Well, they play three linebackers, and then your D line is just, you know, whatever. Man, we gonna take them boys out to that water. I'm telling you, and they ain't gonna see if they can swim, and I don't think they're gonna be able to do it.
So, kind of defensively, right? Like, their whole thing is like stopping the run, right? They sell out to stop the run. I don't think they're going to be that effective at it. And then what changes if that doesn't work? They're not really prepared for that type of adjustment. We've seen the other thing, right? They are a very physical team. I give them that. You know, despite the smaller stature, right? This is a physical team. It's a good team. Again, I'm not taking anything. I just think we're better. It's just bottom line. But things change dramatically for them if two things. One thing on offense is pressuring Mendoza. We've seen it when he played Iowa, when they played Penn State, when they played Ohio State. And, you know, they narrowly escaped all of those games. They won. Kudos to you because, you know, it's a thin line between a win and a loss. They did it, though. And then, again, defensively, it's all predicated on stopping the run. If we're able to run, I think we have them very off their square. So I think that's what's going to play to our advantages because I think what they do the best, I believe, you know, as far as stopping the run, I don't think they'll be able to stop the run. We've been running on a tear throughout this whole playoffs against.
And they haven't seen that.
Who's got a better defense than Ohio State, right? Like, A&M had a great defense. We ran on them. Everybody that's supposed to be able to stop the run, which they do a good job in general, don't think they have the greatest schedule. We've done it. We've already done it. We're more battle-tested. This team is way more battle-tested. This team is just more prepared to me. Like, great, they got the W's, cool. I'm not saying, but your role just wasn't as hard. And then you got, obviously, the being at home, blah, blah, stuff, right? That's another X factor to kick into it. But, yeah, I just – long story less long, I just see it as a situation where we will impose our will, and I think the shock, the Cinderella, has got to be us because we barely made it, right? We just squeezed in. We added two losses. We're the 10th seed, and we're 8.5-point underdogs.
Yeah,
and that's not happening.
I think that Cinderella narrative comes from the fact, and I said this, I say, yeah, I think because they have never been.
Yeah, historically,
they've never experienced this before. You know what I'm saying? So it's surreal. I think at the end of the day, like I was telling them on the Discord, I was like, I think a lot of their players would be mesmerized. You know, they get hit out of bounds, and then they get up and they look and see Ray Lewis and Edgerrin James on the sideline. They go like, these niggas really
about what the hell?
They really got Hall of Famers. Like, they really got people who we look up to. You know what I'm saying? I think that'll be so real for them. You know what I'm saying? But that's where that narrative come from. They never been in the situation.
So, that shit did. So, all right, we're gonna get up out of here. So, before we do, obviously, how you know? I guess real quick, how we win it and your score predictions. I'll kick it off just to go kind of run through it. Or whatever. I honestly think we win this game real simple, running the football effectively. I think Carson Beck has a game very similar to last game he had, where he could just be efficient. Just move the ball efficiently. We can lean into the run heavily. I think we control the game. And with that, you know, I don't remember my exact prediction from the
– I think yours was like 31-20.
Yeah, I think I got us – I might – let me pull the tweet up real quick so I don't have to
– 31, Larion, yours is 31-21. Rob has –
31-21, okay. I'll stick with that. I think, yeah. I mean, maybe I'll go 34-21. But I think this game is going to be more of a convincing win than a lot of people are predicting. You know, the nation is just going, oh, they ain't lost. They got the hiding winner, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Just don't think it's a better team. And I just don't think we lose this game. I think, yeah, we control the rock and – yeah, we win. I'll go up. I'll give us another 3 points. Give me 34-21.
I got 24-20. I'm going to stand on it.
Man, Measy, man up, man. You turnpike me. What's
going on, man? Wait, hold on. Since you going with that, then why you got it just a 4 point? Like, what's your vision there? Why is it be that tough a fight?
I think it's going to be the title game. Both teams going to give it their all. And I feel like the game's going to slow down. I think the game's going to slow down a lot. I don't know, man. I just feel like it's going to be like a – I don't know. It's just going to slow down. It's going to be – I think it's going to be a tough game. But we just pull it out. 24-20, man.
I think it's slowing it down.
I don't think it's going to be that high scoring.
Because they're pretty explosive. I give them that. They're pretty explosive. I think if it slows down, we maul them. But, okay, we'll rock with it. Well, what you got, D-Rob?
Man – pessimistic Measy, and I thought I would have been the one. Man, check this out. If we see if that game slow down, bro, there is no way it's even gonna be that close. Cause you gotta think about it. Probably run the same formula like we get against Ole Miss. Just control the clock, run them down. They're not, I don't think they don't have the receivers that Ole Miss, I don't think they have the, I ain't gonna say they don't, oh. Nah, let me not say they don't have the offense, oh. But huh?
They don't have the offense Ole Miss.
Yeah, they don't have the offense that Ole Miss has. You know what I'm saying? And all you got to do is just look at the Penn State game and look at the Iowa game. You know what I'm saying? Just look at those games and see how it is. And I'm telling you, bro, I don't think it's going to. Huh?
Don't forget Ohio
State. Yeah. Look at Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's I don't think it's going to be. What I don't think it's going to be close, Miami man. For? 24 to 14.
Yeah, we beat them by 10, yeah. So what's your score, D-Rob?
I said 31-17. Okay. But to be honest, I think that these boys going to be so hyped, man. And I think you got the whole city behind you. You got the former players behind you. You got – it's so much, like, and they know, like, we the underdogs, we this and we that. I think these boys gonna come out here and say, you know what, man? Fuck these niggas, man. We ain't even finna play with them. We ain't even finna get them. I think they gonna drown them, bro, and they ain't gonna be able to breathe. I think the only ones to me, I think that's really gonna show up is to give it Mendoza. I think Mendoza gonna do what he do. He gonna give it his all. He's gonna do all that, but I don't think it's gonna be enough. And I think we just gonna maul them boys.
Yeah, no doubt. Maul, what you got?
So, in terms of score prediction, if y'all ain't figured it out, I had the same score prediction the whole playoff. So, off principle, 31-20 is the score prediction. In terms of the game itself, couple things I'm noticing. Cignetti behind the scenes is real nervous about, don't want Miami to have this on the sidelines, certain locker rooms, all these other kind of things. You got Cooper talking about they beat the 2019 LSU team when he got asked that question. That question got asked, and he hasn't answered that, man. I really feel like the disrespect's probably the highest it's been, believe it or not. It's worse than it was going to Texas A&M. But the players are quiet. I think we locked in. We focused. I think we're going to dominate them in the sense of, I think offensively it's going to be a lot like the Florida State game offensively, where they're going to sell out to stop the run, and then Beck's going to just have to make them throws because they're going to be there over the top. And then on defense, I feel like we got to make that hit, and that hit's going to happen from somebody, just like how we did Concepcion on special teams, or we had that pick six. We're going to make a big play on defense late first, early second. They're just going to shift the game, like how that Bryce interception was. So we're going to have a big turning point. I just think it's going to be our game, man. It's going to be reminiscent of us winning in the past in the perceived home of the Orange Bowl. And it's about to be a great day. And the all-white Stormtroopers at Hard Rock, first time ever.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, Eric, wrap it up, man. I know you got the most outrageous score of us all. I hope it's correct. The one I hope is right.
My first was 31-17, man. But I'm ready to move that to like 45-17. I'm key. I give them 17, 45-17. I don't think it's gonna be close, man. I just don't think this team, 14 players on defense, I just think they're gonna be dead by halftime, man. And we gonna keep going. I think once Dawson sees blood, it's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna be a shark. He's gonna keep attacking. And he the man, you know, he gets so hyped when he starts stopping the defense and the offense scores. I just think it's going, man, 45-17, man. So
that's a big X factor too, yeah. The Heatherman thing. We kind of glossed over. I know Maul brought it up. I think that plays really well for us too. I mean, he's gonna know how to attack him too. You know, they know each other. But you know, a defense has the edge to me when they have the inside track. Because you know what the other person trying to do. But anyways, all right, man. We appreciate y'all pulling up. Natty time. Natty. Not just a, y'all ain't won no bowl games. Well, we won a couple this year.
Just one, three.
And the real ones, not the one, three, not the 40% of your roster sits out, or we pull Cam, you know, Ward, you know, y'all. Yeah, because we clearly had to win the Pop-Tart Bowl. That's why we put Emory Williams in with a huge lead and never went back. Like, okay, let you tell it. We went in the real bowls where everybody's putting their best effort and their best players out there. It's a different day. We here, and we playing on the biggest stage for the biggest prize. Hey, y'all deserve it. Every fan's listening, every Miami Hurricane fan listening, everybody on this show, we deserve this opportunity. And I feel like we're going to cash in, man. So with that said, we'll holler at y'all after the game. Peace.
Hey, hold on, wait. Valerian, you forgot one critical thing. What's that? Hey, see you in the championship, bitch.
Bitch.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.